Oh, yeah. If the New Orleans Saints wanted to, they could at least pursue Lamar Jackson. We got all of that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget, we're free and available on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your New Orleans Saints expert, credential member of the media, CrescentCitySports.com, USA Today Saints Wire, Tuesdays in Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. This episode is brought to you by Nissan. Yeah, the only thing more exciting than the big game is the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. There's only 5 days left until the Super Bowl. Are you ready? The Nissan Ariya, the electric vehicle for people who love to drive. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. On today's episode, Sean Payton's already started poaching members of the coaching staff. Who is he taking and who's next? DC, the DC hire for the New Orleans Saints, Joe Woods. Was it an underwhelming hire or just an underrated hire? We'll break all that down. But first, Lamar Jackson. Should the New Orleans Saints go after Lamar Jackson? The simple answer is if you don't go after Lamar Jackson, you're simply not doing your job. That goes for 31 other teams out there. Well, let's call it 29 other teams. So I think the Chiefs are pretty happy with Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen, they're pretty happy with him over in Buffalo. But basically any team that finds out that Lamar Jackson might possibly be available coming out of Baltimore should be going after Lamar Jackson. If they're not, then they're simply not paying attention. They're simply not doing their job. And that goes for the New Orleans Saints. Not that I'm saying that the New Orleans Saints aren't paying attention or aren't doing their job. If they don't trade for him, that doesn't mean that they won't be in on him, right? They're going to, just like Dennis Allen told us, same thing that Mickey Loomis told us. They're going to look under every rock, right? They're going to leave no stone unturned when it comes to finding their next starting quarterback going into 2023. So how would the New Orleans Saints even pull this off to begin with? Well, first of all, now they have the draft capital. They got their first round pick back this year. They've got future firsts, all of that. There's a couple of ways that the Baltimore Ravens could go about this. Remember, the reports are right now, at least at this time, that the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson are about $100 million off of their contract, right? In terms of those contract negotiations. So that's a pretty big wide margin. Remember, the New Orleans Saints are about $4 million off when it came to C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and see where that ended up. So for the Saints, they could be keeping an eye on what's going on with Baltimore, and there's two ways that this could work out, right? Baltimore decides, we're not going to be able to re-sign him. We'll tag him and trade him. He can take a new contract with the other team. That would put that tag at just over $40 million. The Saints can clear that in their salary cap space, clear it out of the way, trade for him, bring him over to New Orleans, restructure his contract then, and then go ahead and get him signed to a long-term deal that lessens some of the cap hit once he lands in New Orleans. The other way that this could all go about is if the Baltimore Ravens could use what's called a non-exclusive franchise tag. So that's kind of like the way that RFA tenders work out, restricted free agent tenders worked out, to where you could sign him to a cheaper deal, just around $30, $35 million. And then if a team comes out, offers him a deal, it gives the Baltimore Ravens an opportunity to match that deal or let him go, and they get two first round picks in return. But more than likely, they can get more than two first round picks by trading away Lamar Jackson. So this kind of reprises the same conversation a little bit with the Deshaun Watson situation last year. Obviously, all the off-field stuff is not a part of it, but a big-time quarterback who's going to get a big-time contract that's probably going to reset the quarterback market in the trade market. Could the New Orleans Saints go and pursue? Well, they went out, and despite all those offseason issues, they pursued Deshaun Watson. So why not Lamar Jackson? Well, a couple of different things to keep an eye out for here. The big thing would be, how's his injury, right? How's his injury history here as of late? Is he the type of quarterback that can do what Jeff Ireland told us at the Senior Bowl that he would like a mobile quarterback or a dual-threat quarterback to be able to do, which is, can you throw when you're hurt? So far, when we've seen Lamar Jackson hurt, he hasn't been able to play in games. How much of that has been because of the contract that he's on, though, right? Not playing for a ton of money at the moment, has the opportunity to get a big contract. Why risk a career-ending or career-altering injury that would force you to potentially have to rebrand yourself, or worse, when you're going into what could be a contract that resets the quarterback contract market, right? So some of that could be tied to business decisions being made as well as the actual injury itself. It's all in one. And Lamar Jackson came out. He was very clear and clean about what the injury was, all that other stuff, tweeted all about it, let everybody know. So if you can answer the injury question, if you can come up with the trade compensation, which the Saints now can, and if you can make them the sort of space for the contract in the initial contract, which you then restructure, save a ton of money, and then you're able to continue building around Lamar Jackson in 2023, what's your biggest issue? The biggest issue is, do you have the coaching staff that can coach a Lamar Jackson, that can build a game plan for a Lamar Jackson? If you're rolling with the same coaching staff in 2023 that you had in 2022, do you have the confidence that Pete Carmichael could call up plays for Lamar Jackson? That would be a question that New Orleans Saints have to answer. I could see where you can make the argument both ways, right? The first of which is that the Saints have already built, you know, if you look at it in the what they can do way, is that the New Orleans Saints already built a game plan for Taysom Hill. They know exactly how to operate that game plan. You take that game plan, you expand it to match Lamar Jackson's skill set, and then you allow him to be able to run a bit of a, let's say, upgraded Taysom Hill offense, right? So they have some of the foundational pieces and really some of the pieces that you would need to be able to get that done so they could build upon that. The other piece of it is, are you confident in the game planning at all? Like if you're looking at it from the other side, you might just simply not be confident in play calling, game planning on the offensive side, things like that. Also completely understandable. So there are a couple of pieces here that would have to get figured out, including actually an interesting question. If you trade for Lamar Jackson, what do you do with Taysom Hill? You just trade him to the Denver Broncos for some 2024 draft pick capital, or, you know, so he can go off and, you know, have the rest of his career with Sean Payton? Or do you keep him in New Orleans and still allow him to be a little bit of a change of pace or completely convert him to tight end, whatever it might be? I don't think you pay a record-setting contract to a quarterback that you plan to take off the field, however, right? So the only thing would be convincing Taysom Hill to stick around in case Lamar Jackson does get injured, then you have somebody that can operate a similar game plan. Don't come at me talking about how, oh, Ross said Taysom Hill is the same player as him. No. We are not going there today. I'm not that crazy. I like to have fun on this show, but I like to be accurate. So big piece here would simply be, how do you operate that sort of share, right? Can you keep Taysom Hill around so you can run a similar game plan built around similar principles if you do end up landing a guy like Lamar Jackson, which, by the way, let's just say it is a long shot. But I said that Deshaun Watson was a long shot as well, and they were originally a final two team before the Cleveland Browns re-entered the chat. So my bottom line, though, here is that, yeah, the New Orleans Saints should pursue Lamar Jackson if he does indeed become available and doesn't get a deal done in Baltimore. I ultimately think he stays in Baltimore, but we'll see. And the other piece of it is that they have what it takes to get it done because they almost did something similar last year for Deshaun Watson. They now have even more cap flexibility in 2023, believe it or not, with the fact that they are $57.1 million over the NFL's new salary cap going into 2023. But can restructure nearly $150 million worth of new money. Now, you wouldn't do that because you want to talk about mortgaging your future. You're screwed if you do all of that, but you ain't got to do all that. You can do a little bit of that, right? And the same amount that you would have to move around for Derek Carr, an additional $10 million, which could be in just a pair of moves, get you a Lamar Jackson or get you the space for Lamar Jackson. And then you're trading some heavier draft capital for Lamar Jackson than you ever would for Derek Carr, who you might not even need to trade for, right? You might just wait for him to hit the market and then hope that the relationship between Dennis Allen and Derek Carr brings Derek Carr to New Orleans. So there's two possibilities out there, one of which is Lamar Jackson, the other of which, of course, is Derek Carr. Don't for a second think that the New Orleans Saints won't be checking in heavily on both opportunities. Coming up next, the New Orleans Saints have hired Joe Woods as their defensive coordinator. The Cleveland Browns fans celebrated when he was gone. So should you celebrate now that he's here? I'll tell you why you actually potentially could by the time that the year is out. We got all that coming up for you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. In today's episode, brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks, daily fantasy made not only easy, but the way that it should be as well. Tonight you've got, or not tonight, but you know, whenever you jump into Prize Picks and you've got the Super Bowl matchup on the way, if it says something like, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for 320.5 yards, all you have to do is pick whether or not they come in at more or less than that projection. That's the game. You pick 2 to 6 players, Choose whether or not they're going to come in at more or less than their Prize Picks projections. You get those right, you're going to get up to 25 times your entry back in winnings. It doesn't get any better than that. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections that are available. Nice and easy. Everything from, of course, the NFL to the NBA, MLB, NHL, women's college basketball. LSU Tigers are awesome right now. You can get in on that action. You can also get in on the WNBA, Euro basketball, cricket, and much, much more as well. Available in over 30 states and in Canada. Download the Prize Picks app today or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can get a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100 by using the promo code LOCKEDON when you sign up. You put $100 down, they'll give you $100. You put down $50, they'll match $50. That's how numbers work. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, proud part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. The New Orleans Saints have hired Joe Woods as their defensive coordinator, former defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns. Browns fans pretty excited when Joe Woods was let go, one of the earlier moves of this year's coaching cycle. So how should you feel as a Saints fan now that he's the New Orleans Saints defensive coordinator? And there is one key difference to keep in mind here. Appreciate you as always. Make Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. So Joe Woods is the New Orleans Saints new defensive coordinator, but his role is a little bit different. Dennis Allen, of course, the architect of the defense and the play caller over on the defensive side. Joe Woods's time in Cleveland didn't go great, didn't go awful. I mean, they were a top five in passing touchdowns allowed as well when it came to their passing defense. And the reason why I point that out is because Joe Woods' specialty is that of the secondary. And so is Dennis Allen. Now, Dennis Allen and Joe Woods, they've worked together before. They were together in Oakland in 2014, where the Oakland Raiders were 16th in the NFL when it came to defending passing yardage, 25th in the NFL when it came to defending passing touchdowns. So not great, Bob, when it comes to that situation. But when you look at what it is that, or where it is that Joe Woods has succeeded most, it's when he's focused on working with the secondary, not necessarily focused on executing the defensive game plan. And that's the key here in New Orleans. Corey Robinson, the person that I expected was going to end up stepping into the secondary coaching role for the New Orleans Saints after the Saints and Chris Richard parted ways, has let his contract expire. He is now a free agent, which gives him an opportunity to go and work with other teams, maybe find another landing spot. Let me be very clear. That is an important loss for the New Orleans Saints. Corey Robinson was a fantastic and very bright young head coach that cared very much about the person over the player, and that reflected in the player's camaraderie on the team. That was his entire brand as a coach. And that's one of the things that I thought made him very special and would allow him to step right into that defensive backs or secondary coaching role. That will not be the case, however. So now a hire like Joe Woods comes in, assumes the title of defensive coordinator, but very likely will have a very heavy involvement in the New Orleans Saints defensive backs coaching, in the New Orleans Saints secondary coaching. That is where Joe Woods throughout his career has excelled, not just been good, not just been serviceable, not just been adequate. He has excelled in that role. Let's go back to 2015, when he was with the Denver Broncos. He was Denver Broncos defensive backs coach for a couple of years. Number one against passing yards, number one against passing touchdowns as well, allowing only, 19 touchdowns in that year. Sorry, they were not number one against touchdowns. They were number three against passing touchdowns. So still top three in both yardage and scoring over on the passing side. And oh, by the way, they won a Super Bowl there, and the defense had a lot to do with it, along with, of course, Peyton Manning helping out a little bit. The next year, 2016, obviously I'm joking when I say a little bit when it comes to Peyton Manning. First in both passing yardage allowed and passing touchdowns allowed. That's where they were at the top in both of those categories. That was him working with guys like Aqib Talib, so on and so forth. It doesn't stop there. 2015 and 16, he was with the Denver Broncos as their defensive backs coach. 2017-18, he was their defensive coordinator. 2019, he then went back to being a defensive backs coach as well as a passing game coordinator. Did that with the San Francisco 49ers in 2019. That was a Super Bowl appearance team right there. And those marks over in the passing game, first against passing yards allowed, 13th when it comes to passing touchdowns. allowed 23. So really, really good when he's focusing on those defensive backs. And that's a lot of what he'll do in New Orleans, because he's not going to be the game day play caller. He's not going to be the guy that's the architect of the defense. He's not the guy that's defining the defense, the strategy, philosophy, any of that. That is all Dennis Allen's world. And for as bad as the New Orleans Saints were in 2022, the passing defense was a big part of where they were successful. Number two in the NFL against passing yards, number three in the NFL against passing touchdowns allowed. Where they struggled was in the run game. So that's where maybe a hire like Todd Grantham, who we spoke about a bit in yesterday's episode, comes in, works with the defensive line, hopefully helps to bolster that area after losing Ryan Nielsen to the Atlanta Falcons. So for the Saints, things did not go well for Joe Woods when he was in Cleveland. Things didn't go great for Joe Woods and Dennis Allen when they were together in Oakland. This is an entirely different setup, though. Dennis Allen pioneering the defense, continuing to do what was actually successful in 2022, bringing in somebody that knows his language, knows the system, knows the philosophy, knows how to translate it, knows how to train it, all of that, knows how to develop those players. That's a big piece that you're looking for in all of this. So if Joe Woods is also the secondary coach, in addition to being the defensive coordinator, that's where you can see a big time boost, or at least something different in terms of where you can have expectations around Joe Woods, right? I don't want to say that he's a big boost to the defensive backs, or that he's a big boost to the secondary over a Chris Richard, over an Aaron Glenn, anything like that. I'm not going to go out that far and say all that. The Saints have to show you that, right? The Saints have to prove that. They have to prove that they're making the right decision. So are they or are they not is something that has to be answered over the course of the 2023 season. But I will say this. This offseason hasn't quite gone the way that the New Orleans Saints expected in terms of the beginning. That's very clear. The New Orleans Saints were betting on continuity, cohesion, again, going into 2023, wanting to be one of the only teams, or the only team, in the NFC South without multiple changes on their coaching staff at the top, sort of triumvirate, which is really like more of a quadruple thing going on there with the special teams coordinator, Darren Rizzi. But they didn't make a change at head coach. They didn't make a change at offensive coordinator. Their goal was apparently to not make a change at defensive coordinator, while every other team in the NFC South was making at least one change to some three of those places, of those roles, including some situations where you were making those changes at two of those roles. So for the New Orleans Saints, they are now kind of out of that conversation. They're not the team anymore that isn't making a change. So they had to make sure that they make the right hire here. Did they? We'll find out throughout 2023. But if Joe Woods fails as the Saints defensive coordinator, it's not for the same reasons that he failed as a defensive coordinator or struggled as a defensive coordinator in Cleveland. He's being asked to do something very, very different here in New Orleans. Speaking of something very, very different, Sean Payton's the Denver Broncos head coach. Now, we're not going to go down that whole rabbit hole, but there is something to pay attention to, because Sean Payton has already begun poaching some of the New Orleans Saints coaching staff. Who did he take and who could be next? We'll break that down as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Today's episode brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. You want something delicious, but you don't want anything that carries all the fat and calories, and you got to try Built Bar. We got through all the holidays and everything. Now it's time for that big health reset, and Built Bar is here for you while also bringing you some fantastic flavors, because not only are they healthy, but they're actually tasty as well. In fact, they're so delicious that sometimes you won't even think that they are good for you. So they're perfect for your New Year's resolution. So what makes them so good? Well, first of all, they're covered in 100% chocolate. Yes, that's right. 100% real chocolate. And they come in some incredible flavors, including churro, peanut butter brownie, and of course, coconut almond, a favorite here on the Locked On Podcast Network. At only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein, you're not going to find anything better than these. And they got even easier to find, because not only can you find them at built.com, you can also now find them at Walmart and Sam's Club as well. You can get a 4 box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, and coconut puffs at Walmart. You can get a 13 bar box, yeah, that baker's dozen, over at the Sam's Club with brownie batter and churro. I just said the Sam's Club. Y'all hear me turning 80 out here? You can thank me later. Make sure you go and check out Walmart, Sam's Club, and of course, built.com. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrap it up today's episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Sean Payton. Payton be poaching. Now, we knew this was going to happen. One of the things that Mickey Loomis was asked about, that we asked him about during his end-of-year presser, was effectively around, like, hey, if Sean Payton calls and tries to poach some of these, you know, coaching staff hires that you guys have, like, is that something that you're going to protect? Is it something that you're going to stop from happening? Like, how are you going to handle that? And one of the things that is a reality is that they can't stop anything if it's a promotion. The only way to stop a promotion is to get that same person that's about to get that promotion with another franchise to instead accept the promotion with your franchise. Think back to Ryan Nielsen, who was about to be hired away by the LSU Tigers. Just a little bit different because it was a coordinator role in the college level. So it's a different level thing and stuff like that. But you can block those types of things. You can step in the way of some of those things, all that. But if it's a promotion, hard to block them. In fact, the NFL doesn't even let you if it's with another NFL team. So not much the New Orleans Saints could have done about this particular hire. But Sean Payton has pulled Zach Strief up out of his assistant offensive line coach position with the New Orleans Saints. And he will now travel to Denver to be their offensive line coach. That's a big hire for the Denver Broncos and a big loss for the New Orleans Saints. Highly, highly regarded within the building. Nick Underhill called him one of the smartest people in the building. I would have to agree with that. When it comes to Zach Strief, he is excellent. And he was working with Doug Marrone. They had Jari Evans in the building, all of that, to be able to kind of help these offensive linemen be able to continue to develop. And they did a pretty good job in 2022. They had to go pretty far down the depth chart in order to get some starters, some players ready for some starting snaps, and they did exactly that. But now Zach Strief, who spent his entire playing career with the New Orleans Saints, started his coaching career with the New Orleans Saints, will continue it with former New Orleans Saints coach Sean Payton over on the opposite side. By the way, if you want to know, with the Denver Broncos. By the way, if you want to know my thoughts on who should replace Zach Strief, Jari Evans. He's right there. He was one of your offensive assistants working on that program, and now he's got a role that he can step right into and be the assistant offensive line coach right next to Doug Marrone. I think that would be a move that would make a ton of sense for the New Orleans Saints. We'll see if they get that done. But now that Sean Payton is stealing coaches, I'm just kidding. But now that Sean Payton is hiring like his guys, there are some of those guys that are on the New Orleans Saints roster. I do think that there are some potential names that Sean Payton could come a calling for in New Orleans. So a couple of things to keep in mind here. Again, you can't block promotions, but Mickey Loomis did say that they would not allow any lateral moves from the New Orleans Saints to the Denver Broncos. So the one thing that a lot of people have been asking is, would Sean Payton steal Pete Carmichael away? That doesn't seem likely. Pete Carmichael accepting a position with Sean Payton in Denver would actually be a demotion because he would actually be going to a place where he would be the offensive coordinator, but he would be a non-play caller. Sean Payton, of course, would be the play caller. So with that in mind, the New Orleans Saints, who have opted to roll ahead with Pete Carmichael, would very likely stand in the way of that hire happening. So what's the next best thing for Sean Payton? Well, Joe Lombardi's out there. He's already a free agent. Don't have to deal with anything if you want to bring him in, somebody that Sean Payton's already got a lot of experience with. But if he wants to snag somebody from the Saints coaching staff, seems that he really, really liked Ronald Curry. I did a walk and talk with Sean Payton during the Super Bowl last year where he had very, very nice things to say and really, really high praise for Ronald Curry, as does everyone when you talk to them about him. Ronald Curry already interviewed as the offensive coordinator in Tampa earlier this year. He had a couple of other interviews last offseason. So could Sean Payton come a call in for Ronald Curry? That's definitely a name to watch. Another big name to watch over on the defensive side is young linebacker coach Mike Hodges. Now, here's an interesting thing. Sean Payton did his introductory press conference with the Denver Broncos on Monday afternoon. One of the names that he mentioned actively during that presser was Mike Zimmer. He and Mike Zimmer are longtime friends, somebody that we thought that, hey, if Dennis Allen ever got hired away while Sean Payton was the head coach, Mike Zimmer very likely after he was out in Minnesota would have made a lot of sense for the New Orleans Saints at defensive coordinator. So now he makes a lot of sense for the Denver Broncos at defensive coordinator. There were some early reports saying that Sean Payton and Vic Fangio would link up. Vic Fangio is now in Miami. He took that job before Sean Payton got his job in Denver. So it seems that Sean Payton would go after Mike Zimmer first, who is right now a defensive analyst with Deion Sanders over at the Colorado Buffaloes, which is such a fun thing to say. If he's not able to get him, then Michael Hodges could make a lot of sense. Now, there is one little thing that stands out to me. When the New Orleans Saints released their statement, which kind of, well, not really released their statement, but when information came out about the New Orleans Saints parting ways with Chris Richard, it came through Nick Underhill over at NewOrleans.football. And one of the things that he said was that the Saints and Chris Richard split ways on philosophical differences. The Saints will now look for one coordinator and then look for folks, of course, who can step in at defensive line coach and at secondary coach, which is the trio of roles that you lost with Ryan Nielsen going to Atlanta and Chris Richard and the Saints parting ways. But the last line in that tweet was that Mike Hodges is expected to continue to have a large role. So I'm paraphrasing something along that way. I don't think that that phrase, I don't think that that piece of information is something to forget about. It's clear that Michael Hodges is an incredibly talented linebacker coach and an incredibly talented defensive coach. And so for the New Orleans Saints, they very likely want him to sort of be a cornerstone of that group, of those position group coaches, because you lost a secondary coach, you lost a defensive line coach. All you got left is the one guy that stuck around so far, which is the linebacker coach. So I could see the New Orleans Saints going out of their way to protect and keep Mike Hodges involved as much as possible. There are a couple of ways to do that. You take the assistant head coach role or title away from Darren Rizzi, you give it to Mike Hodges. You look at Mike Hodges and figure out another way to keep him involved and have him doing more with your defense. There's a lot of different ways for them to get Michael Hodges to want to stay in New Orleans. And there are even some title things they could do to try to keep him in New Orleans. So it'd be interesting to see how the Saints navigate that situation. But keeping Michael Hodges, I believe, should be a priority for the New Orleans Saints. So while I don't see a situation in which Michael Hodges gets hired away over to the Denver Broncos, if Mike Zimmer doesn't turn that job down, if Mike Zimmer does turn the job down, does not become the Denver Broncos DC, then I could see a world in which that ends up being a phone call that Michael Hodges has to field. So those are two big names to watch out for. Ronald Curry, Michael Hodges, big time players that could potentially, or big time players, big time coaches, position coaches for the New Orleans Saints and expanded roles who could be getting phone calls to go and join Sean Payton over in Denver. But hopefully the poaching here remains minimal by Sean Payton, as there are still already some folks that are available out on the market elsewhere that he has some pretty close ties to, including Joe Lombardi and Mike Zimmer. All right, coming up on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Saints, how specifically can they make room for their next quarterback if they were to go out and get a veteran via trade or free agency, including guys like Lamar Jackson and Derek Carr? We'll break it down step by step in tomorrow's episode of Locked On Saints. Appreciate you as always for making us your first listen of the day. For your second listen, make sure you go and check out Locked On NFL as well. Get the lowdown of everything going on leading up to the big game this weekend. Appreciate you as always making me part of your day, part of your routine, for saying yes to me and the show. As always, if you see me, say hi. If you need anything else around your New Orleans Saints in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know what family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holla at you.